You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Lot to unpack. Come on in, stay a while. Say good morning to our radio and TV partners, Fox Sports Radio lineup, and our nearly... How many affiliates are we up to, Paulie?
Oh, thousands.
Close to 400 cities around America. Are there 400 cities in America?
Total?
Yeah.
Of our affiliates or total cities?
Yeah, of our affiliates.
I think it's like 357.
357. Okay. Give or take 25 or 30. You're just making a number up.
Yes.
Okay. Welcome to the program. We say a good morning to Peacock. That's our streaming service. You can download the app. You can watch all 3 hours. If you've ever wondered, what do we look like? You now have that opportunity to see, and it'll ruin all of your fantasies. 877-3DP Show, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. We will have a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. Winning defines legacies in the NBA. Kevin Durant's performance in this year's postseason might be an exception to that rule, because I know it's recency bias, but if you said who's the best basketball player in the world, Kevin Durant's getting everybody's vote, and he's not in the playoffs any longer. Kyrie Irving was out. James Harden struggled. KD put the Nets on his back. And it got to a point where yesterday it just felt like the Nets were just waiting for Kevin Durant. They were just watching Kevin Durant. And it was kind of odd. I should say Saturday. It was just odd to watch it. But they were just watching and then waiting for Kevin Durant to do something. And he was inches away from bearing a three that would have won the game. His toes were on the line, and they went into overtime where Milwaukee finally put away the series. But once again, Durant was wonderful. He played all 53 minutes. He had 48 points, and you got to see an incredible skill set on display. And it was a shame. The last shot that he took was an air ball, but, you know, that performance, you know, this entire series, this entire postseason, you know, this was a failure this season. Like, if you said, do the Nets have a lot to feel good about? No, they don't. I mean, you got to make the finals at least. And, you know, this is where James Harden wasn't in shape to start the season and wasn't in shape to end the season. Kyrie Irving. What this was a reminder about Kevin Durant. Unprecedented. It was fun to watch. Hopefully we won't forget. You know, the Bucks have moved on and we have time to talk about them. It's almost like the storylines of the teams that aren't in the playoffs any longer are more interesting. Now, I know the Suns, they've waited a long time for this. We'll get to that. The Clippers have waited a long time to get to the Western Conference Finals. We'll get to that as well. But you have the 76ers, drama there. What do the Nets look like next year? But this was a failure for the Nets, because that's a team that has a 3-year window to win at least one championship. And that's now 2 years that you have left, it feels like, to win a championship. And it's been a long time since we've had a playoffs that it's the second time since the NBA began seeding for the playoffs by conference in 1973 that neither number one seed has made the conference finals. But you had some great basketball over the weekend. Certainly what happened with the Atlanta Hawks with Philadelphia. Philadelphia is more interesting just because I don't know what we're going to see next year. What's that lineup going to look like? And if you're Philadelphia, based off of some of the comments, post-game comments here, they got a big decision to make with Ben Simmons. Here is Joel Embiid on the turning point of the game yesterday.
I don't know how to say it, but I thought the turning point was just, you know, we had an open shot and, you know, we made one free throw and we missed the other, and then they came down and scored and we didn't get a good possession on the other end, and Trey came back and he made a three, and then from there down four, and then he's on me, I turn the ball over and try to, you know, make something happen from the perimeter, I thought that was a turning point.
What he's talking about is Ben Simmons was posting up low, had an opportunity to go up for a dunk, and the only person standing in his way was Trae Young. And barely in his way. Ben Simmons is 6'10". He passed it. He passed it off. And this is really a microcosm here of Ben Simmons in the fourth quarter. He didn't make a field goal in the fourth quarter of the last four games. Barely attempted shots in the fourth quarter. You're shooting under 40% from the free throw line. Here's Doc Rivers being asked if he thinks he can win a championship with Ben Simmons as his point guard.
Doc, do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. You know, so I don't know the answer to that.
What do you, when you say get in the gym with him, what needs to be done? I mean, obviously, this is coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's between Ben and I.
Wow. It's not between Ben and I, not now, not after that comment, because now everybody's going, wait a minute, can you win with him as your... See, to me, Ben Simmons was never a great player. I think we thought he was a great player. You know, coming out of high school, one and done at LSU. Oh my gosh, he's another Magic Johnson. You know, maybe he's a Lamar Odom Magic Johnson kind of player. Well, he's not that. And I think he would be better served to play the role of a Draymond Green. Draymond Green plays defense. He can hit a couple of timely shots. He rebounds. He leads the team in assists. But you don't expect him to be your go-to guy. Ben Simmons is really a third guy. And maybe a fourth guy on a really good team. The expectation level is so high for him. And now there's almost a sadness, or you feel sorry for him. You know, Markel Fultz forgot how to shoot and had to leave Philadelphia, went to Orlando and sort of revitalized a career here. I don't know what you get for Ben Simmons. I don't know who's going to want Ben Simmons. But if it's almost like he needs to go to a team that doesn't have great expectations, that you don't expect them to win. Therefore, he can kind of figure out who he is as a player. Because I don't know if he knows. And you could see he was just very tentative. You can't be tentative in sports. But this is going to be a long off season for Ben. And I think just trying to figure out who he is and what he needs to do. Here's Ben Simmons meeting with the media on this off season.
Ben, Doc said there's work to do and he and you need to get into the gym. What do you think the work is that needs to be done and, I guess, prioritized? Is it free throw shooting? Is it being more aggressive? Is it perimeter shooting? What is it in your game that you think you need to improve first?
I think all of it. You hit on all of it. I didn't shoot well from the line this series. Offensively, I wasn't there. I ain't doing enough for my teammates. There's a lot of things I need to work on.
Yep, confidence is a big thing here. And form. It's simple in diagnosing it. It's not going to be simple to overcome it. If you watch him shoot, you can't shoot with your elbow out. He's got to clear that up, clean that up, and shoot more with the arms straight up instead of out, because out is horrible form. I've been saying it since he was at LSU. It almost looked like he's a right-handed player who's learning to shoot left-handed. But I don't know if you can bring him back. I really don't. And by the way, to the reporter, don't ask a question and then answer the question. How about you just say, Doc said, what do you need to work on? Just a small suggestion there. Yes, McLovin.
Do you think the Sixers could get like a Zach LaVine or like, I mean, Bradley Beal behind? Is there any way they can package Simmons? Would any like sort of lower level team be interested in
him? Yeah, but why do we always look at the team that you like and say, boy, they could get Zach LaVine? That means Chicago has to go, hey, we'll take Ben Simmons.
Yeah, but Chicago seems to have a love-hate relationship with Zach LaVine. Like, it'd be almost like two detriments.
You know what? I love Zach LaVine, and I'd hate to lose him. That would be my love-hate relationship if I'm the Bulls. He averaged 27 a game. Like, you know, come on.
So, okay, I won't even bring up Lillard or Steph Curry.
No, don't do that.
Steph Curry tweeting some nice things about his brother.
Yeah. And it cost the GM some money there. This program is brought to you by Simply Safe Home Security. There's always somebody who has your back, keeping you safe. Go to simplysafedan.com today, customize your system, and get a free security camera as well. So the Bucks close out the Nets. Hawks close out the 76ers. The Jazz flame out. Suns beat the Clippers in game one without Chris Paul. And Kawhi Leonard wasn't there for the Clippers. Tonight, no NBA. Back to the Jazz. You know, I've railed on first team, second team, third team, all NBA, where you have to have two guards and two forwards and a center. Okay, how many good centers are there? Three? Joker, Embiid, Rudy Gobert, right? Therefore, Rudy Gobert is considered one of the top 15 players in the NBA. But he's not. The Clippers exposed Rudy Gobert. So when we talk about great defenders, you know, boy, that guy's the defensive player of the year. Okay, he's a rim protector, but as far as, like, you can't be the best defensive player, one of the top defensive players, and then be a liability on defense. And that's what the Clippers, Terrence Mann, for God's sakes. Terrence Mann lit up Rudy Gobert. If I would have said, hey, here's a headline you're probably not going to believe. Terrence Mann lighting up Rudy Gobert. And he did. Pick and roll. That's why, you know, in today's NBA where you go, is there any room for a big man? If you can't handle pick and roll, then no. Like, you become a liability. So I don't want to hear, oh, you know, Rudy Gobert, defensive player of the year. If you get four blocks or three blocks in a game and you average that, that doesn't mean you're the defensive player of the year. Because he got exposed. This is all about perimeter defense. Your defensive player of the year should be somebody who can play on the perimeter. Because that's where games are won and lost. Not, hey, I'm a rim protector. It's nice to have that. But in the postseason, he got exposed. And I know the Jazz weren't completely healthy. Donovan Mitchell, you should still win. You got to win that game. There's no excuse for that. You don't even have Kawhi Leonard in there. And I do want to say, this is not going to be said by many people, but Ty Lue has done a wonderful job with the Clippers. He really has. He makes adjustments. I thought that he was unfairly maligned after LeBron had won the title, and then they eventually got rid of him, and then he couldn't get a job. I think he's a really good coach. And I think he's made adjustment. Just the fact you don't have Kawhi, I know the Suns didn't have Chris Paul, but you're in Phoenix and you're still in the game, late in the game. And I don't know if they win this series, but I will say I think they'll be far more competitive because of Ty Lue there. And they had an opportunity. And I don't know if Kawhi is going to play. Probably not going to play in game two. And then we'll see when the series goes back to Los Angeles. John Rahm won the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. We'll talk about that. Your phone calls are welcome. Best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. We'll check in with the Philadelphia 76ers coming up next. Glad to have you part of the program on this Monday. Hour one. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. M-Drive. Oh, you can hear it in my voice, right? I take M-Drive every day. Yeah, there's energy here. It's probably coming right through the speakers. Or maybe your TV set. Man, that guy sounds like he's got a lot of energy. Yes, I do. I'm going to tone it down a little bit. All right. M-Drive Boost and Burn, the supplement that can help you drop unwanted pounds, give you energy, and you'll need that for the summer. You know, you got longer hours. You're going to be outside. You know, it's bathing suit weather. That's what they want to see. That's what they want to see. Shredfest. M-Drive Boost and Burn. You can get it at Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shop, or go to mdrivedan.com. You got free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Nothing to lose except for some LBs. So get lean, get strong, And you can do it with M-Drive Boost and Burn, packed with clinically tested ingredients. Go to mdrivedan.com. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. McLevin, you got a poll question for me today?
You want to go positive or negative to start? Let's start negative. Who had the worst weekend? Now, we know Ben Simmons is on the list.
All right.
We know Bryson DeChambeau is on the list.
Yeah.
The debate over here, should we put Louis Oosthuizen on that list?
I don't know if anybody cares about Louis Oosthuizen. Like Bryson DeChambeau, they know him. Louis's just a nice guy who wants to ride his tractor on a farm when he's not playing golf. I don't think there's anything controversial about him. They're like, oh, that seems like a really nice guy. Doesn't Louis Oosthuizen play like he would be playing on a Sunday afternoon at a public golf course? You'd be like, that guy's got a really nice swing there. It, you know, his EKG, like he's just probably flatlines there a little bit. But yeah, you know, he choked a little bit there. Not like DeChambeau did. He was 8 over on 8 holes. What else do you have, McLevin?
Which team is kicking themselves the most? We did this before. Okay. That lost this weekend. The Nets, the 76ers, or the Utah Jazz?
Well,
that's a tough one, kind of.
But you can say, we expect the Nets to win. I think the Utah Jazz, okay, the opening was there. Like, you had the opening. You don't have to worry about the Lakers. You know, the Sixers, I'm going to say the Sixers, because now you have, it was open for you as well. And, you know, Trae Young didn't shoot well. Like, the opening was there for you. The Nets are out. Now you have a chance to go to the NBA Finals. You don't have to worry about the Lakers. And I would say the 76ers probably kicking themselves. Mike Selsky is the Philadelphia Inquirer columnist. He's covered the 76ers for nearly 20 years. And Mike joins us on the program. All right, Mike, what do you think the mood is with Sixer fans?
I think the Philadelphia police need to guard all the bridges in and around the city because there's going to be some people heading there and ready to take the deep plunge, not to be too dark about it.
Where do you think the anger lies?
A lot of it at Ben Simmons. A lot of it at Ben Simmons. Because Ben violated kind of the first rule of Philadelphia sports, which is you can go down, but you better go down trying.
Yeah.
And the fact that he kind of withered away at the end there, clearly didn't want the ball in his hands. You know, that passed up dunk is going to be the subject of documentary filmmaking for years to come, I think.
And then you had Doc when he was questioned after the game, can you win a championship with him? And he answered it honestly. I was surprised he did, saying, I don't know that. Where prior to this, it felt like Doc was always there to remind the media, Ben Simmons is a special player. Can they win a championship with Ben Simmons?
They can win a championship with Ben Simmons, I think. I don't think they can win a championship with Ben Simmons as their point guard. You can't have a point guard abdicating his role in the offense completely to the degree that Simmons does. I mean, he just stands there under the basket and becomes a non-factor, a non-option. You can't even throw him the ball because he doesn't want to go to the foul line. It's a really complex, bad situation in that he's gotten worse in that regard since he's been in the league. I mean, his numbers were all down this season. There's been a lot made in Philadelphia about how Doc Rivers was going to be the new coach. He was going to come in and, you know, unleash Ben. But if you look at Ben's numbers and you watch the quality of his play over the course of the season, he did not improve as a player under Doc. He got worse.
And then he doesn't even attempt field goals in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's so telling here, Mike, that he, and the mental aspect of this, this isn't something you just go into a gym and say, hey, come on in and shoot some free throws. Like this, there's more to this than just, we're going to fix your form, which would be really difficult to do as well. Do the 76ers have the infrastructure to be able to do this and say, all right, hey, we're going to take time. We learn, you know, from previous players that, you know, have the yips, shooting yips.
Well, I mean, Dan, let's be honest about this. They, as it turned out, they drafted players number one overall in back-to-back seasons in Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz, who can't shoot I mean, this is, and it's not, you know, they try and they can't do it. They had a mental block about it. And we can, and you're right, we can talk all we want about Simmons' form. And I've written columns about this, about how his elbow flares out and his form is terrible and he's ambidextrous and maybe it would be better if he weren't. It's not about the form anymore. He does not want to go to the foul line. And to answer your question about whether the Sixers can sort this out, they had a dry run at this with Markelle Fultz, yeah, and they weren't able to do it. And now you've got it with Simmons all over again. And I think the worst part of it is that his teammates see it and they know it. You watch that clip of that passed up dunk again. You see Joel Embiid putting his hands in the air. Like, what are you doing, Ben? Just throw the ball down. And, you know, that kind of thing gums up an offense. It creates tension on a team where a team can't afford it. The scuttlebutt in Philadelphia is that this is it for Ben Simmons there. And at this point, I find it hard to disagree.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out of, does this become a Carson Wentz-like situation? That you almost feel like you have to let him go for the betterment of both the organization and the quarterback?
I think it's starker than the Wentz situation. There was still some debate and divide in Philadelphia over whether the Eagles ought to keep Wentz, whether the problems that the Eagles went through last season were solely on Wentz or mostly on Wentz. You know, there were questions about the offensive line, all that kind of stuff. This is far more naked. You can see it. He does not want to participate in the offense, and you can see how that trickles down. Look, Joel Embiid had 8 turnovers last night, and that's bad. And he didn't rise to the occasion in the way that Kevin Durant did or Giannis did the other night. But he's not the kind of player who you want creating off the dribble. You need a player, a point guard, who can get a player like Embiid and a player like Tobias Harris into the flow of an offense. And right now the Sixers don't have that, and everybody can see it, and all those eyes are going to one place, and that's Ben Simmons.
So what do you do in the offseason? Is there a trade market for Ben Simmons?
That's a great question. I mean, look, Daryl Morey tried during the season. I mean, they came very close to making that deal for James Harden. They wanted Harden. They were willing to move Simmons to get it. The irony of all that is that Simmons came back after that trade fell through and Harden ended up with the Nets and played great for a while. But I think... Is there the market that there once was? No, there can't possibly be after these 7 games that he played against the Hawks. But I think Morey's going to have to try to get creative, because if they bring him back and they try to run this back without making some significant changes, boy, it's going to be a hard go for them next year in the city.
Is the process still going on, Mike?
You know, I feel like, Dan, I was an advocate of the process. I loved what Sam Hinkie was doing. I felt like the process sort of kind of ended once he resigned. There's been so much upheaval and so many changes since then. They've gone through Brian Colangelo. They went through a year without really a GM, where they ended up trading away Mikal Bridges for Zaire Smith. They let Jimmy Butler walk and signed Tobias Harris instead. Now we have Doc and Daryl, you know, in here. The process has ended. I think we're far enough removed from what Hinkie was doing and was trying to do to say, look, you know, they took a big swing. It didn't work. And in some ways, Philadelphia was kind of the worst place for it, for trying something like this, because Philadelphia sports fans and sports followers are most comfortable in like a defensive crouch, right? They don't want to leave themselves open to the possibility of failure. They want to protect themselves as much as they can. That's why the series loss hurts so much, Dan, is that the Sixers were favored. It was one thing to have the Eagles beat the Patriots when Nick Foles, the backup, is leading them to championship glory. It's another thing when a team is supposed to win a series. Philadelphia hates that.
I use the analogy that if you could have Ben Simmons in a role that's similar to Draymond Green with Golden State, where he's the third or fourth option, where you know, his passing, defense, and rebounding, if there's a way to kind of, and it sounds strange to say it, that you got to kind of hide him or put him in a position where he can succeed, this is all you ask him to do. And I don't know if that's possible.
I'm not sure it is either, not with the money he's making. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you afford under the salary cap to have a guy who makes $30-40 million a year, you know, be Draymond Green? I mean, nothing against Draymond. He's a terrific player, but you know, he wasn't Steph Curry. He wasn't Kevin Durant. He wasn't Klay Thompson. So, you know, what do you do if you're the Sixers? As you said, you can't really hide a guy who's making that much money.
Just gives you more to write, Mike. They write these columns for you.
Hey, I'll take it, man. I'll take it every time.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Dan. Appreciate it.
Mike Sielski, who writes for the Philadelphia Inquirer, covering the 76ers for a couple of decades there. Yes, Paulie?
You know, you compare him to Draymond Green, and when Draymond Green was a three-time All-Star, he was averaging like, you know, 14 points, 12 points a game. He wasn't a main option, but he was shooting like 73% from the free throw line. He was shooting 34% from three and shooting like four threes a game. He was a nice shooter.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. And, you know, the mental side of this, that's where we don't understand. And it's really hard to correct. Because I could say to Ben Simmons, why don't you get together? Why don't you just watch Chris Mullen free throws? Just watch the flow that Molly had. Left-hander, look at the form and the feel that he has. And maybe, or hire Chris Mullen. I mean, if you got a guy making $40 million a year, bring in Chris Mullen as a shooting coach just to say, let me work with you. Like, what's the downside to that? But I think his form is not good because his elbow is out. And if you've ever tried to change your golf swing, it's really hard to do. And what happens is, when, you know, I've been trying to do it for 25 years to be a better player. What you do is you keep practicing the things that don't make you consistent or good. So Ben Simmons can go in the gym. He can shoot 1,000 free throws. It doesn't matter if he's not shooting it correctly. Lonzo Ball, same thing. I kept saying if Lonzo looked at Kevin Durant, where Kevin starts on the left side of his head and gets over to right in the middle of his forehead, a little bit to the right. Lonzo has almost like it's a windshield wiper. That can't work because it takes too long to load up. If he shortened it a little bit, then I think he would get better results. We're seeing him shoot a little bit better, but it's not that as much as the confidence to take the shot. Ben wasn't even attempting shots. I mean, at least the Greek Freak will try. He'll attempt shots. He's not a good shooter. But he knows he has to keep shooting for that team. And by the way, he was spectacular in Game 7. He really was. But that was an entire team that played great. Because I called them bums after the first two games. Like, you have your opportunity to win. And they made me work because I picked them to beat the Nets. And I thought, they're not a good enough team to beat the Nets, even with the Nets wounded. And they almost lost that. If Kevin Durant's wearing the correct size shoes, the fact that he wears 18s and he's a size 17 because he says, I'm faster aerodynamics or whatever it is. If he wears what he's supposed to wear, then we're talking about the Bucks bowing out of the playoffs. Yeah, Paulie.
Going back to Ben Simmons, he's been in six playoff series in his career. In 2018, he shot 71% from the line in the playoffs. 2019, he shot 65% from the line. This year, he shot 34% from the line. So it's not like he couldn't do, you know, 71%, you'd take that.
Yeah.
You can get by with that. It's half. It's getting worse.
By the way, the Greek Freak has at least 30 points in each of his last five games. That's the longest postseason streak by Bucks since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did that during the 1970 playoffs.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
By the way, there's certain players that you watch and you go, man, they make it look really easy. Devin Booker is one of those players that if you haven't had the opportunity to watch him in a game, we see highlights, but when you watch him in a game, I'm always curious how you get your shots. Like, what do? Are you always running around? You float a little bit here. You beat people off the dribble. Devin Booker is talented enough to be a point guard, but he's a great shooting guard. But he put up a triple-double, and just he floats. There's something about his game where he doesn't look like he has to work as hard for shots. There are guys who you're like, man, that guy, Reggie Miller, who will join us later on, Reg had to work to get his shots because he couldn't beat you off the dribble. There's certain players who just sort of float. They're in the ether. And then all of a sudden they get the ball and they make it look very easy. And this will be a coming out party for Devin Booker, even though last year in the bubble. But this is Trae Young. It feels like these playoffs, Trae Young and Devin Booker. Now, that doesn't mean these two teams are going to win, but it does mean you're going to get a chance to watch these young players. And, you know, the Atlanta Hawks are more than Trae Young. To go into Philadelphia and win that game, and Trae Young did not play well, and this is where you get that opportunity to see a team play. Because normally you're going to see, hey, there's four highlights of Trae Young on SportsCenter. And then you'll put up your score panel and then that'll be it. Or the Phoenix Suns, and the Phoenix Suns win during the regular season. And you get three highlights of Devin Booker, maybe a Chris Paul mid-range jumper. That's it. But Kevin Huerter and John Collins... You got a Bogdanovich on there too, Clint Capella. Gallinari's been on quite a few teams. Nate McMillan's done a wonderful job with that team. So there's some fun storylines. But it feels like the storylines today have to do with the teams that aren't in the postseason. Best and worst of the weekend, your phone calls. We'll get to those. Got play of the day, stat of the day. We'll settle on our poll question as well. Joe in Ohio leads us off. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, best and a lot of worse. I'm going to be quick. Best, U.S. Open and all the NBA games. Really fun weekend for both. Now, my worst, I'm not a Sixers fan at all. Don't have any affiliation. I was irrationally mad at Ben Simmons all weekend. I was at the gym yesterday. I shot 10 free throws left-handed to see what I could do. Never done it before. 4 for 10. It's impossible to be 30% as a... It's impossible. So that's one. Two, like you said earlier, I think we're giving him the benefit of the doubt being the number one pick. If he was picked at 11, no one would even consider what he's doing. You're like, oh, he's a solid player, right? He's like a Draymond Green, like you said. Three, because he's an all-star and he has expectations, I think that might have been the worst NBA playoff performance in the history of time, and it was infuriating to watch, and I'm not even a fan. Okay, I got everything in. I'm sorry for that.
Thank you, Joe. The benefit. Did you see what he was doing with that? No, he wasn't. I just gave him credit for that. Yeah, McLevin.
Isn't some of this pressure? Like, you could just tell some guys don't want it. I hate to say it. I said before, James Harden in Game 7s is not the same James Harden that you see in every other game.
I don't know how healthy he was. I applauded him for being out there. I don't think he helped them when he was out there. But this is a Game 7, and it shouldn't be just reliant on Kevin Durant. And it was. And you got James Harden had another bad playoff performance in a Game 7.
Yeah, he was 2 for 12 from 3, and one of them was a lucky bank shot.
Yes, yes. I know he's not 100%.
But he's going to do the same thing next year. No. He's done it. We've seen it now. And Tobias Harris, I know I keep talking about Tobias Harris. He was 2 for 11 in that game they blew the... And you like Tobias.
I like him, except for when there's pressure on him. Because, you know... Hey, he's a great regular season player. There are certain guys who are just equipped for the postseason. They are. I mean, the Sixers got a lot of guys who are three quarters all-stars. Like, they're really good in three quarters. And then they get to the fourth quarter and you go, I don't want to shoot it. You shoot it. Can't have that. But to think this is just, let me fix Ben Simmons' form and it all goes away, that's not the case. You see this in all sports. You saw this yesterday at the U.S. Open with Bryson DeChambeau. He fell apart. He fell apart. It happens. Guys get tense. That's where certain guys seize the moment. Tiger always was like, oh, the pressure's on?
Yes.
Curt Schilling, pressure's on?
Yes.
They're just certain players. Jeter, oh, pressure's on? Yes. Like, they just... They absorb it. They want it. You know, Tom Brady, game on the line. I want it. I'm not going to fold. I don't back down. 28-3, come on, let's go. We get a touchdown here. Let's put a little pressure. That's what you want. Game on the line. Give me the ball. I'll make some. Everybody in the building knows I'm going to take this shot. Everybody knew Kevin Durant was going to take that shot. Which drives me crazy.
You didn't like it when they just had one guy covering him? There?
No.
I thought you'd love that.
No. You know, PJ Tucker, nice job. But I got to take the ball out of Kevin Durant's hands. If Joe Harris hits the jumper, okay. Even Harden at that point. I got to take the ball out of his hands. Make him pick up his dribble sooner than he wants. You had Holiday, who was sort of in no man's land. He's like, should I leave my man? Should I come over here and double t-? Oh, he hits the jumper. I'm going, Giannis is 6 feet away. There's only one guy. Everybody knew who was getting it. There's going to be a pick down low. He's going to pop up. He'll get the ball, and then he'll go one-on-one. Make him pass the ball. Even if James Harden takes the shot, I don't want Kevin Durant to take the shot. Hey, the best guy in the world right now is going to get a chance to take a jumper. Tough jumper. No. I don't want him taking any jumper. Best guy on the planet had to pass the ball in the final shot. You know, the Bucks are lucky. Take a break. We'll give you our play of the day coming up next. More phone calls as well. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh my God.
The play.
The play is called play
of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Now Embiid trying to back in. He lost the ball. Kevin Herter gets it. Up ahead to Danilo Gallinari. Gallo breaks in. He jams! And the Hawks lead 98-92 with 41 and a half seconds left. And Doc Rivers just had to call his final timeout.
That's courtesy of 92.9 The Game, Hawks Radio Network. Atlanta won a Game 7 on the road for the first time in franchise history, having previously been 0-9 in road Game 7s. That's your play of the day, brought to you by M-Drive Boost and Burn, the supplement that can help shed pounds, build muscle. Visit mdrivedan.com. Get free shipping, 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Couple more phone calls in here. Alan in San Diego. Alan, best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, that was the Padres bouncing back from being swept by the Rockies and sweeping for the first time in franchise history, sweeping the Reds. And the worst was those bloody hang gliders on continuous loop at the U.S. Open. Jeez.
All right. Thank you, Alan. That had to be distracting, though, when you see these guys in there. You know, right on the coastline there in San Diego, at Torrey Pines. Then did you see the guy who ran onto the golf course?
Now, he wasn't streaking, was he? He had like tan shorts on, I think.
Yeah, I don't. Well, do you have to be naked?
At first, you heard the commentator said, "I think we have a streaker."
Yeah,
and then he brought his own club and just took a shot at one.
Let's see, who else do we have here? Mike in Wisconsin. Hey, Mike, welcome back.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Great, Mike.
I'm not going to gloat. I thought it was a great U.S. Open. John Rahm made two great putts. I know Seton was really looking forward to the brats, but down the line, we'll make another bet on something.
Now, you took Xander Schauffele and John Rahm?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. That's a good call by you.
Well, Shoffley's from California, and I didn't know how well Rahm was going to play, but I know how well he played when he got COVID. And I just took a shot in the dark and just happened to – I watched it. We're up near Green Bay in the campground, and it was really exciting, and I thought it was really good.
All right. Well, congratulations on that, Mike. That's Mike in Wisconsin. He said John Rahm, Xander Schauffele were his two picks there. I had Colin Morikawa and Brooks Koepka. And I thought Colin Morikawa was going to slip in and steal it. And then I think he had a double bogey. Brooks Koepka is going to look at this and go, I should have won this thing. Plus, I wonder his feeling. Now, he's got to be a little frosty that he didn't win, but I wonder what he thought when he saw Bryson DeChambeau go 8 over in the last 8 holes there. Did you see where Brooks Koepka was doing an interview? He's being interviewed, and Bryson DeChambeau walked by, and he jumped up like a fan behind somebody doing a live show. I did that on Saturday. I went, I love it. I thought it was awesome there. Yes, Paulie.
Golf Channel is replaying the back nine right now, and it's weird when you know something is coming. Mm. DeChambeau is at the 10th tee, and his back foot slips. It was slick or something, and it's like he just it never got out of his head. Plus 8 on the next 8 holes.
And he almost had a hole-in-one. You know, he had the crowd on his side. It felt like he was the crowd favorite. If not Mickelson, then it was DeChambeau. Because you feel like you're seeing something. Most golfers all look alike, dress alike, swing alike. And then you see this. And, you know, it just feels like the gallery was on his side. Because they're able to witness something that you just don't see. Like long drive contest type stuff. Jeff in Detroit. Morning, Jeff. Best and worst of the weekend.
What up, Noah? One time for chat row. Worst of the weekend is going to be Brooke Lopez for getting the time on the clock. Best of the weekend is going to end up being him recovering, blocking Durant. Durant looked like he was just out of gas at the end of that game.
Yeah.
Great series going on, man. We got some good basketball. We don't know who's going to win, so it's good.
Thank you, Jeff. Did you see where Usain Bolt has his wife gave birth, the twins? Do you guys want to guess what the names of the twins are for the fastest man in the world? Paulie?
Well, if it's that teasable, Lightning for the boy.
Lightning? No.
Oh.
Close. Anybody? McLovin?
Well, Thunder then?
Thunderbolt.
Wow. That's too obvious.
Thunderbolt is the name of one of the twins, and the other one is Saint. Saint Bolt.
I think Saint Leo Bolt, I think.
Saint Leo?
Because I think Usain's middle name is Saint Leo.
Hmm. Well, Thunderbolt. Yes, McLovin.
How about Dash as a name? That would have been perfect. Dashiell?
Dashiell Bolt?
Dash, like 100-meter dash?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's not as good as Slender.
Yes, yes.
What about Bol Bolt? Little shout out to the NBA. Is that too close to Bol Bolt? Things were going so smoothly.
They were.
It was a night we came back from a 3-day weekend. Everybody was in a good mood.
We're like 1 minute away from getting out of the first hour.
I had to say something stupid.
Hey,
I had to.
I was waiting for a limerick today, Todd.
I know. I mean, you guys were so in favor of my creativity. I didn't write a limerick. I didn't do a mock headline. Although I did post a mock headline.
Okay, don't do this.
You don't like the mock headline?
No, don't do this that nobody likes your limericks.
I'm looking for a pout opportunity. It seemed like a
good
time
to do that. No, we're not pouting on Monday. No.
I'll save it for Tuesday?
Yeah, no, Friday.
All right, Friday.
Yes, Paulie.
If your name is Thunderbolt, you have two career options, sprinter, weathercaster.
Yes, yes.
That's it.
Ooh, man, going to be limited there. You better be fast. You better be fast. We'll check in with the Phoenix Suns. Coming up, Reggie Miller will join us in the final hour of the show. More of your phone calls, as we always do, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. We'll come back, give you hours. Seton Pauly, Fritzy McLovin, yours truly. This is the Dan Patrick Show. One more item, close out first hour, rockauto.com. Rock on, Rock Auto. All the parts your car or truck will ever need. Founded back in 1999 by automotive engineers, they had two goals in mind. They want to give you direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, they just want to offer reliably low prices. They've done both. Rockauto.com allows you to choose the part brands, prices, features you want anytime 24/7. Rockauto.com has a lot of the parts you probably been told dealer only are no longer available. Parts delivered directly to your home or office. You don't waste time and money hunting for the parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines. Go to rockauto.com and make sure you tell them that we sent you. You can write Dan Patrick in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. They'll take care of you. All the parts your car or truck will ever need at rockauto.com. Don't waste time and money hunting for those parts. Just go to rockauto.com. They're there 24/7 and make sure you tell them we sent you.